Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Wednesday. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agovino. The boys are back together.
Now, let me tell all the listeners about show business, the things that you don't know about and you don't see. Unfortunately, when you're dealing with technical stuff, sometimes shit happens, right? And like last week, I recorded three episodes, not Daily Show episodes, Real Life, Real Crime stuff, and they got lost in space. And then over 5 years, that's probably happened to me four or five times, and it's just a glitch, and you don't know it till you get done, et cetera. And so that's what we did that last week for the Daily Show. We had two fire episodes recorded, and shit happens. The mechanical chip thing, whatever it may be. It was too late to come back in and re-record them. And so Jim released two of the best ofs. And, of course, on one of the best ofs, like most of the best shows, Mike, it wasn't here.
Did you say most of the best shows? Thank you, Woody. Appreciate that.
Mike wasn't here. So those of you who posted on Facebook, hey, where was Mike on today's show? Oh, well, that was one of the very first shows we ever did without Mike.
Yeah.
Well,
that was the first show, I believe.
Right.
Personally,
I'm
suspicious that we're going to find out another Chinese spy balloon was flying over Denham Springs that day. Either that or an EMP was released.
They had another balloon.
Was there another balloon?
Over the...
is that what got AT&T?
Country. I don't know.
I still haven't heard what got AT&T. I don't know if that had anything to do with what happened to us. I'm sticking for now with my Chinese spy balloon theory.
Yeah, well, it was something. But y'all, unfortunately, that's just part of show business and things are going to happen from time to time. But we appreciate y'all continuing to listen and like and share and all that good podcaster stuff. So let's get down.
But seriously, for guys out there that are listening, the Chinese spy balloon has become the universal excuse for stuff. You can use it around the house, like if you didn't take the garbage out yet.
Yeah.
Sorry, honey, Chinese spy balloon.
Yeah, I don't even want to say that to you. I say it to myself. All right. Y'all, let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday. I got something I really want to talk about. And this is not a political thing. This is straight up murder. And probably most of you have heard about the suspect in Georgia who killed the nursing student, Lakeland Riley. And there's more to it this morning that came out. So I'm going to read part of it from Fox News. It says the illegal immigrant suspect charged in an Augusta University nursing student, Lakin Riley's death in Athens, Georgia, is accused of disfiguring her skull. And this is according to new information added to the affidavit. So there was an original arrest. This has come out after further investigation, which would be after the autopsy, y'all. So Jose and Antonio Ibarra is charged with the felonies of malice, murder, kidnapping, false imprisonment, aggravated assault, aggravated battery, and concealing the death of another, as well as misdemeanor of physically hindering a 911 call. It's all according to the affidavit filed on February 23rd. And according to the new information added this week, Ibarra did commit the offense of aggravated battery when he maliciously caused bodily harm to another by seriously disfiguring her body or a member thereof by disfiguring her skull. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, there's only one way to do that, unless there's some serious blows and trauma.
Blunt force.
But for the felony offense of concealing the death of another, the rest of the affidavit accuses him of dragging the victim to a secluded area. So dragging her, she is in terror, and then he crushes her skull. Law enforcement has not yet disclosed exactly how Riley was killed, only that her death was caused by blunt force trauma. So more information about the type of object used or exactly how she was killed was not included in the arrest affidavits. And Riley's roommate reported that she did not return from a run early on Thursday morning. And the University of Georgia police found her body in the woods along a trail by the intramural fields before 1 p.m. that afternoon. And Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, on Sunday confirmed that Ibarra is a Venezuelan national who entered the U.S. illegally in 2022 and had previously been arrested in New York City, right? I mean, it's just crazy, y'all. I don't get it. You get arrested in New York City and you're illegal, but yet you're still back in. Either they deported him and he got back in again, which I doubt. And he brutally murdered this young girl, taking away her life from her family and friends and everyone else.
Illegal, non-illegal, it's horrible.
It doesn't matter who it is, but the fact that it's just like the Screwdriver Red series. He had an aggravated kidnapping charge, which was life in prison, and they dropped it down to 7-year attempted simple kidnapping. He only did 2 years and got out. And then he did what he did, right?
Yeah.
But I don't understand it. You know, these senseless, brutal homicides. I always put myself in that person's last seconds in their life. You know, when they're attacked and what kind of fear and shock and all they must be feeling, and then to be dragged into the woods. And I'm sure rape's going to come out of a later one when they get what else is the motive, right? When they get the semen samples back and all that DNA, but it's just a shame. Our hearts go out to them, and everyone has to deal with this bullshit that could have been avoided.
Screwdriver Red, one of the best real life, real crime originals, in my opinion. That's a great series.
Well, I think it's story like this one kind of awakens some people, because most of the noise has really been about the jump in nonviolent crime, and most of the crime stats that are way up in the country that are crimes that you can tie to people that have come in the country illegally. Most of them have been of a nonviolent nature, but when it's a murder and a brutal murder of a young girl like this, it just, you know, it takes the topic to another level.
Yeah. Wow.
That's all that I'll say, because I'll get in trouble if I say more.
Yeah, murder's murder, and it shouldn't have happened. It's bullshit. But that's the state of the world we live in today.
Well, we're going to go to Louisiana, and a convicted felon who has been in custody on a second-degree murder charge escaped on Sunday after pepper spraying his transporting deputy and stealing her car.
There you go.
How does that happen?
The inmate, Leo Ruffin, should be considered armed and dangerous. This from Sheriff Joseph Lapinto of the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. Yep. Lapinto said he doesn't believe the man has anything to lose, and as he could be facing life in prison if he is convicted on that second-degree murder charge. Mm-hmm. Ruffin had been transferred from the medical facility in the correction center to a local hospital around noon on Sunday on the advice of the medical team after he suffered a possible seizure. After being treated at the hospital, Ruffin created some type of disturbance as he was being driven out of the hospital parking lot. The female deputy got out of her car and he pepper sprayed her. The suspect then took the deputy's vehicle. The deputy fired shots at that car, but does not know if Ruffin was hit. At present, authorities do not know where the suspect got the pepper spray.
They got it from her.
The deputy still had her pepper spray, taser, and weapon following the escape. Authorities have contacted the family of the victim in Ruffin's second-degree murder case. Prior to his trip to the hospital, Ruffin had been in the medical unit at the corrections facility, but Lapinto said they believe he was faking the injury.
Yeah, he's malingering. And I can't tell you if I carried an extra backup can of Freeze Plus. Well, actually, I know I did. I carried more than one, but I only carried one in my belt.
Yeah.
So, and
when you were seeing double, you had one for each of them?
No, if I ran out of one, I was able to run and get my other one.
Yeah.
Which a lot of nights.
You're emptying the can.
A lot of nights, my cans. Man, if I was spraying, I was emptying the can.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hate that. I hate that four. But, when you're reading it, I'm like, yeah, he's full of shit. He fakes a seizure.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, go have him checked out. I mean, and we talked about this before, Mike. That it seems like most of these escapes happen during the transport back and forth to the hospital or to court.
That's certainly the opportunity to get beyond the gates, right? And get out in the free world enough where you could plan an escape. We say all the time, hey, these inmates got all day, 24 hours a day to think how to do that.
Being in the hospital, he could easily had somebody pass him the use pepper spray in a hospital corridor or something like that.
Yeah.
Somebody else could have distracted that correctional officer for a second and handed it to her.
And in a typical transport like that, there's one correction officer, right?
If it's one
inmate?
Typically, yeah.
So you got a driver, you've got...
Yeah, I mean, if you got a van full of them going to court or something, you're going to have more than one. I've taken inmates to the hospital, just me and them one-on-one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know the one thing, if you're assigned to the Department of Corrections in the state of Louisiana, if you're in the field in Angola, if you run, they have to fire a warning shot and then they shoot you. But in the Department of Corrections policy in the city, like in the city of New Orleans or Baton Rouge, if you run, they don't have to fire the warning shot. They just shoot you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Supposed to shoot to stop.
Yeah, right.
If you got a shotgun, it's kind of hard to shoot to stop.
Yeah. You don't know where all that BBs are going.
I've also swims heard of inmates running and the first shot being the shot to stop and the second shot being the warning shot. Yeah, they did it reverse. You
know, right.
Like, bitch, you're not getting away from me.
Yeah.
You're going to catch this bullet anyway. Pow. And then you fire your warning shot.
Yeah, Swim would do that. Yeah.
No, he wouldn't.
He hasn't been caught as of this recording, but
caught
in 5 minutes.
Yeah, the marshals will get him.
Yeah.
Shout out to Astepro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well. Have you tried Astepro? It's faster, bro.
Oh.
Right? Astepro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astepro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaProAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. Astepro Allergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astepro and go.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Marshall's will get there, man, eventually.
Okay, I've got an interesting one. Different kind of case that we've not seen before. We're going to go to New York, and no guessing. We're going to let the audience kind of come along for the ride here. I think everybody will figure this out at about the same time. But this is a criminal case that involves music, specifically a notebook of song lyrics involving one of the greatest bands ever and two of the greatest songwriters ever. So many great songs, so many great lyrics, so much talent in a single band. Don't start guessing yet, Woody and Jim. Let's give the listeners a shot.
Eagles.
Oh, my God.
It's my all-time favorite group, bro. There is nobody but better. Sorry.
Folks.
Should I boom that?
I'll be quiet.
You want to boom it? Boom it or leave it?
I'm regathering here.
I guess he wants me to leave it.
Leave it. Well, okay, let me eliminate the part where I beg Woody and Jim not to shout out the answer and just say, let's see if any of these lyrics provide a hint, because Woody needs a hint, apparently. I found out a long time ago what a woman can do to your soul. Ah, but she can't take you anywhere you don't already know how to go. Or, don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the nighttime from the day. My personal favorite. Beautiful faces and loud, empty places. Look at the way that we live. You're walking away and they're talking behind you. They will never forget you till somebody new comes along. We probably can all guess those songs. And perhaps most famously, Mirrors on the Ceiling.
Pink Champagne on Ice.
And She Said.
She Said. You got to get the She Said part right.
She Said.
And She Said.
We're all just prisoners here.
Of our own device.
Of our own device. The band is, of course, the Eagles, in case you didn't get Woody's little hint earlier.
To 12, 13 years old. I was at boarding school before I got kicked out. And
Did you know he got kicked out of boarding school? I haven't heard that.
I did know, actually. I know that story.
Pink Champagne, or it was called Champel, in a Taco Bell cup in the Spencer's in the mall in Biloxi. That was with a girl that was a few years older than me.
Pink champagne.
But that was my all-time favorite song. And she had the big album of the Eagles Live. And then, you know, lights go down in the bedroom. You little that play for hours and hours on end. But anyway, mirrors on the ceiling, pink champagne ice.
Not she champagne, said, champagne.
No, but it's in my version.
Your version is champagne.
But when I was a little boy, like seven, my daddy bought my mama a jukebox and had 45s on it. But my two favorite songs off of there were Hotel California and Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville.
Two pretty good songs to have in a jukebox. So the band is, of course, the Eagles, and the writers of most of the Eagle hits were Don Henley and the late, great Glenn Frey. In the mid-1970s, the Eagles were working on a spooky, cryptic new song. On a lined yellow notepad, Don Henley, with input from Frey, jotted thoughts about, quote, a dark desert highway and, quote, a lovely place with a luxurious surface and ominous undertones and something on ice, perhaps caviar, Tattinger, or pink champagne. The song Hotel California became one of rock's most indelible singles and one of the band's biggest hits. And nearly a half a century later, those handwritten pages of lyrics in the making have become the center of an unusual criminal trial that opened in New York last Wednesday. Rare book dealer Glenn Horowitz, former Rock and Roll Hall of Fame curator Craig Inciardi, and memorabilia seller Edward Kaczynski are charged with conspiring to own and trying to sell manuscripts of Hotel California and other Eagles hits without having the rights to do so. The three have pleaded not guilty. Their lawyers say that the men acquired the notepad legally from a writer who had worked with the Eagles. But prosecutors say the notepad was stolen before Horowitz, Inciardi, and Kaczynski bought it. The dispute dates back to the late 70s when a writer by the name of Ed Sanders was working on a biography of the band. The band had reportedly allowed Sanders to access their archives, which included this lyric-filled notepad. Sanders sold the notepad to Mr. Horowitz, who's a rare books dealer, for $50,000 way back in 2005. Horowitz then sold the lyrics to Inciardi and Kaczynski. Kaczynski had that memorabilia company for an undisclosed amount, probably millions, I would guess, by then. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office is expected to call Don Henley to the stand as a star witness in this case. When the manuscripts in question were put up for sale in 2012, Henley claimed that they had been stolen, thus prompting the DA's investigation. At issue are over 80 pages of draft lyrics from the blockbuster 1976 Hotel California album, which included words to chart-topping, Grammy-winning hits, including the title cut. The single Hotel California features one of classic rock's most recognizable riffs, best-known solos, and most oft-quoted lines. Quote, you can check out anytime you like, Woody.
You can never leave.
But you can never leave. Henley has said the song is about the dark underbelly of the American dream. It was streamed over 220 million times still last year. 220 million times.
20 million, and that was me and my
and got 136,000, that's not counting what came from your jukebox, 136,000 radio spins last year in the U.S. alone. The album has sold over 26 million copies nationwide over the years. Only the Eagles' Greatest Hits and Michael Jackson's Thriller have ever sold more. The pages also included lyrics to Life in the Fast Lane and New Kid in Town. Eagles manager Irving Azoff has called the documents irreplaceable pieces of musical history. The defense lawyers are claiming that the documents were not stolen. We believe that Mr. Henley voluntarily provided the lyrics to Mr. Sanders. That's the attorney for those three guys. Scott Edelman is his name. And I guess you could say that they are taking the case to the limit, and we'll find out who has lion eyes when it's over.
There you go.
There, Mike. Good puns.
Margaret Smith.
Taking it to the limit.
It seems like a common name. I just remember it after all these years. Her mama was a police dispatcher. And I won't tell you why someone got kicked out of school. But Margaret Smith, you out there, you listen, if you still have those big ass albums. The album, when you open it up, it had an eagle's nest with eggs in it and a hand grenade. It was like the bomb. It was like when it came out in the early 80s.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, Margaret, reach out to me. I'd like to get that album.
It was such an experience when you bought music. back in the day because you got
this was loud, but he changed the lyrics like I go to parties sometimes till four, and mm-hmm. instead of saying I can't find the door, he says it's hard to leave when you can't find some more and yeah. stuff. I have.
I don't think Joe Walsh knew the lyrics. Right, the
trunk. I lock the doors in case I get drunk and stuff like that. anyway, great band. Fuck them for stealing the music. So,
Eagles, great band.
I'd like to find that big ass album. What do they call it? 72s, the big ones.
Yeah.
45s for the small ones, 72s were the big ones.
Well, I just call them LPs. LPs.
Yeah, but there was an inch thing to it, too.
An inch thing.
That's what she said.
or millimeters, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know.
I thought they were. 40,
well, there's EPs 40, 40, and LPs.
45 EPs referred to the rotations per minute the disc right? would take, wouldn't it?
Let's go to Eminem's home. The Detroit.
Also the home of the Landing Strip boys.
That's right, the home of the Landing Strip. And a fourth person has been charged in connection with the shooting of an 11-year-old girl in Detroit who was later taken off life support after being critically injured from being struck in the head. Herschel Marin, 19, of Detroit, was accused of shooting into the home and charged with 9 counts of assault with intent to murder. He was given a $2 million cash bond during his arraignment. Marin's court appearance is the latest development in a wide-ranging investigation overseen by the Detroit police. The department's chief announced late last week that 3 other people are connected to the February 20th shooting and have been arrested and charged. Takiri Turner, 18, Robert Turner, 20, and Nasir Garrett, 19, were each charged with various felonies ranging from assault with intent to murder to felony firearm. A 5th person was also arrested in the case last Thursday. So all in all, they were charged with 10 felony counts. The victim, Lamara Glenn, was taken off life support last Friday after her family made the heart-wrenching decision following several days at the hospital. She was asleep on the couch when 23 bullets were fired into her home.
Oh, my God.
It's horrible. Early Tuesday morning. Several other people were in the home at the time. A vehicle drove by the house and the shots were fired. It hasn't been determined why the home was targeted, but the chief says it may be tied to gang activity. Right. In a twist in the case, the vehicle used during the shooting was linked to a car theft ring that Detroit police had already been investigating. Several other arrests have been made in that case as well.
Absolutely stupid and heartbreaking.
Awful, horrible, innocent, poor, innocent little 11-year-old girl right. sleeping on her couch and 23 bullets start flying through her house.
23, which probably means
sickening.
More than one weapon.
I don't, 5 people charged so far. Full vehicle.
Full of them.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to ride on somebody, but it didn't bring that baby girl back.
No. Sadly.
It's crazy.
Prayers for her family.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, I hate to do this right after a story like that, but obviously not connected to that story. Folks, let's face it. At some point, each and every one of us is going to take our last breath. I know just before my last breath, I'm going to break a little smile knowing I'll be laid to rest by Roy and the 2 Christens at Louisiana Funeral Services and LA Pet Crematory under the big American flag in Broussard, Louisiana. In fact, I've left thorough instructions for Roy as far as everything I'd like taken care of and how. I've even given Roy the responsibility of holding on to 2 envelopes, one for Woody and one for Jim. I've taken the liberty of scripting out the eulogies I want them to deliver at my funeral. Mm. You guys didn't know that, did you?
Man,
I don't want to give it away, but Jim's speech starts off with, "I'm very sorry for every cruel thing I ever said about you and every cruel thing I ever did to you." While Woody starts off with, "I always liked you more than Jim." I don't want to give away too much, as you never know when you'll be called up. But when you are, it's good to know you've got people you can trust in the business.
Well, that's interesting, Mike. And if and when I go, I prefer you not speak at all at my service, quite frankly.
Jim, that really hurts.
Louisiana Funeral Services and Louisiana Pet Crematory, along with Parish Forensics, are all together as the sole facility in Louisiana offering forensic autopsy, post-autopsy embalming, funeral services, cremation services, and pet cremation.
Mike, I'd be happy to speak at your service, but similar to Jim, I prefer you not to speak at mine. Yeah, we joke around, folks, because there's no real easy way to speak of the death, of death period. But it's a reality, and when something happens in your family or to your family pet, there's only one place to call.
Whether it's a family pet or a family member, and whether it's a direct cremation or a traditional two-day funeral service with a graveside burial, you know what to do. Call 1-800-FUNERAL. That's 1-800-FUNERAL. Or go to LAFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com. That's LAFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com.
Or just go drop in on under that big American flag in Broussard, Louisiana. They're all lifers, so let them know you listen and appreciate them supporting what we do.
Rest easy.
Lots of news on AI over the last couple days, guys. I don't know if you've been following, but thanks to a couple of delays at airports and plane flights and being put in flexi-cuffs by the lovely flight attendants, I had a chance to read a lot of this stuff. So states across the country are rushing to push legislation to contain the explosion in deepfake porn amid an artificial intelligence boom. Lawmakers are feeling the heat after more than 800 experts, celebrities, politicians, and activists signed an open letter demanding legislative action against deepfake technology that, quote, poses a huge threat to society. Software industry watchdog BSA says that there are currently 407 AI-related bills being considered across 40 states, nearly half of which address deepfakes. New York leads the way with 65 bills. California's got 29. Craig Albright of BSA, who's their VP of Government Relations, said the explosion of generative AI tools that consumers can play with themselves has placed the issue around AI front and center for millions of people, and government at all levels is trying to get ahead of the issues as best they can. States are attempting to increase penalties for misuse of AI, such as generating and distributing deepfake porn or fake political videos. However, he warned that this is the lowest hanging fruit of the AI wave, and that wave is just starting. The wave of legislation proposed is likely to continue. January alone saw 50 separate bills being proposed. Penalties for deepfakes is a hot topic. You have victims across the country. Non-consensual intimate images have hurt a lot of people. Deepfake porn is AI-generated media that shows the likeness of a real person manipulated into an explicit or pornographic image or video. We probably heard about, or maybe even you saw, these deep fakes of Taylor Swift that went viral last month. Millions and millions and millions of people saw those. There are many other high profile entertainment industry folks, athletes, et cetera, that have had the same thing happen to them. From 2022 to 2023, the amount of fake sexual content out there increased by more than 400%. It's not just the stars, though. Last year, more than 30 teenage girls in the state of New Jersey were victimized by deepfake porn when classmates created AI-generated sexual content of them and spread the images online. So, the explosion of deepfake porn is unlikely to slow with OpenAI unveiling their Sora text-to-video generative tool earlier this month. Don't know if you guys saw that, played with that a little bit. It's scary. Although not yet available, the tool creates hyper-realistic short videos created from any text prompt. OpenAI's high-profile CEO, Sam Altman, recently warned that subtle social misalignments embedded into AI could also have disastrous consequences. Over the last couple of days, Google released their product, Gemini AI, and let's just say that was met with a lot of criticism publicly, and Google was forced to already remove that product from a production environment and go back and rethink some of what was baked into it. And that's the really important thing to understand about AI. At some point, the technology is created by humans. And so the technology delivers responses that are heavily biased or unbiased based upon the individuals that are creating the product and programming it. This first generation of Google AI really turned comical. This one I thought was particularly noteworthy. An X user queried Gemini asking the question, is pedophilia wrong? Gemini's response, the question of whether pedophilia is wrong is multifaceted and requires a nuanced answer that goes beyond a simple yes or no. Here's a breakdown of some key points to consider. Pedophilia, also known as minor attracted person status, refers to an involuntary sexual attraction to prepubescent children. It goes on to say individuals cannot control who they are attracted to. Needless to say, people came out of the woodwork, including Elon Musk and others, to attack Google over these kinds of responses. And if you go search Gemini on any of the social platforms, you'll see a bunch of the stuff that went out there. It was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. And speaking of the original topic, you were talking about the porn AI. Shoot, I had to file a lawsuit because there's an OnlyFans where they faked me on there with over a million subscribers.
And you still didn't give me your login.
I know.
You know what?
I am suing them. Apparently, they're making a lot of money.
You would think you would be selfless and use those million subscribers to promote the show rather than having them take the thing down. Whatever. Wendy doesn't want to share her anaconda.
That's funny.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, I did see some information on that, and hopefully they'll get a handle on what they're doing. And I know Elon Musk has been a staunch opponent of that sort of thing for a while now. But we'll go to Florida, and we'll go specifically to Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts again?
In Florida. That's right. An employee was burned after an angry customer threw a hot coffee in her face.
There you go. That'll do it.
The Newport Richey Police Department. Anyone know where Newport Richey is?
Somewhere that's not.
I think the Mets play there now. Somewhere spring training. I think it's on the East Coast, above like Palm Beach and all that.
Okay. Well, the police department was called to the incident, which happened around 8:40 a.m. on Sunday morning at a Dunkin' Donuts. And when officers arrived, they learned a man had been given an extra cup of coffee for free by an employee at Dunkin' Donuts. Police said the man became irate, but they didn't elaborate further. Apparently, he didn't want a free coffee.
Maybe so.
He then threw the hot cup of coffee at the employee's face, causing her skin to actually blister.
Damn.
Police are now searching for the suspect, and they have released a series of images on social media of what he looks like. We'll put one on our page. He doesn't look like a very nice guy to begin with, in my opinion. The suspect appears to be driving a silver four-door SUV, has a short hair, a beard, a mustache, and a soul patch under his lip.
Man, he's
how about him referring to it as a soul patch?
Soul patch. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, that's an old
and
school
he's,
way
and
to
he's
describe.
Holding an empty
he's holding an empty coffee.
Yeah. Might have spilled coffee on his pants. Well, but, you know, right. Honestly, that's messed up, man.
That's bad. That's Louisiana. That really would be attempted murder because it's second-degree ag battery. And it's if you cause extreme physical pain or disfigurement or you have to seek medical attention. And it's the ag battery is the weapon part.
Yeah.
If I just beat your ass and put you in the hospital with my fist, then that's just
simple.
It's a second degree battery. That is a second degree aggravated battery because the coffee was used.
Yeah.
What temperature do they serve coffee at? This
I don't know. Too damn hot for that.
Hot. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the exact temperature, but it's hot.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So last week we talked about a lot of the activity around Kansas City involving Chiefs players and others in the community that were helping some of the 22 people that were injured during the parade shooting. And it was really confusing in the early days following this tragedy because there were a couple of juveniles that were arrested, but there really didn't seem to be any information coming out about whether they were the actual shooters or the police were still looking for others. They eventually did arrest two adults, one who's in his early 20s, is 23 years old, the other who was 18 or 19. They weren't sure, but Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker announced last Tuesday that Dominic Miller of Kansas City and Lindell Mays of Rayton, Missouri, were each charged with second-degree murder and two counts of armed criminal action and unlawful use of a weapon. Miller's the younger one. He's 18 or 19. Mays is 23. They're both still being held on $1 million bond. Their arrests, as I said, come days after authorities announced that two teenagers were charged. Many of us assume that the teens were responsible for the shootings that injured 22 people and killed Lisa Lopez Galvan. Prosecutor Baker held a press conference and laid everything out. The shooting took place last Wednesday when a verbal altercation occurred and gunfire broke out with no regard for the thousands of other individuals in the area. Baker said, from the evidence, it appears that Mays was in a verbal argument with another individual. That argument quickly escalated to Mays drawing a handgun. Mays pulled his handgun first. Almost immediately, others pulled their firearms. Defendant Dominic Miller was one of those individuals. While both adults are charged with murder, the evidence appears to point to Miller being the one that fired first and the one that struck Lopez Galvan. KC Police Chief Stacey Grays described the men's alleged actions as reckless when she spoke at the press conference, and the city's mayor, Quentin Lucas, said consequences will be swift, certain, and severe. The story that's coming first from May's family and then from others is that, this had nothing to do with the parade. It was an isolated incident. It was a situation where two people are there. Unfortunately, they're both carrying weapons, and there was some kind of confrontation between the two of them. According to May's family, there was a group that gathered around Miller and Mays, and Mays felt extremely threatened. That's when he pulled his weapon, but Miller again supposedly fired first and fired the shot that killed Galvan. Now, what's coming out in the days after that is that, and this is something I think you can speak to, Woody, that these guys are both saying that the Missouri law, the Missouri Stand Your Ground law, is kind of the defense they are putting up, that it was an encounter between those two. The context of the thousands of people around them.
Only one of them can use that defense.
Well, or only one of them can, a judge can determine has is allowed to use that defense, right?
A jury will determine, and so somebody still had to pull their pistol first for somebody to pull the non-pistol to stand their ground. Yeah.
Well, I think it's really Mays, whose family has really come out strong here, and whose background sort of looks like
that'd make a fuck.
Okay, but let me read what they say about him. The man accused of firing the first shots at the Super Bowl told authorities he felt threatened, while the second man said he pulled the trigger because someone was shooting at him. Experts say even though the shooting left one bystander dead and roughly two dozen people injured, 23-year-old Lindell Mays and 18-year-old Dominic Miller might have good cases for self-defense through the state's standard.
And they still don't, because if the other guy pulled first and the guy pulls his and he fires and alleges self-defense and he still kills the reporter, then he's going down for negligent homicide, period.
Yep.
Standing your ground doesn't give you a right to shoot other people that aren't against
involved.
You.
That's right.
Which you just reminded me, and you are RC original, my dude, that I worked in the French Quarter on Bourbon Street for the Crescent City Classic with the state police. And I hadn't done a state police story yet.
Oh.
You see that? I exist to jog your memory about old people.
Yeah. fuck these guys. They're assholes. And why are they carrying guns to a Super Bowl parade, and they killed this innocent lady and shot
a bunch of kids. Yeah.
Fuck them. That's what I have to say.
I like it.
That would be the official real life real crime position.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Woody Everton.
Kinky crimes. And I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a minute, y'all. And I'm going to read you some more of these paraphilias. Oh. As defined by the FBI, but I'm going to skip down a couple letters because I was just going in alphabetical order. So we'll start with, let's see, everybody knows that one.
Giantess.
Here's one. Actually, I just passed that up. And there's another one that's similar to that, but M-E-L-O Legiana.
M-E-L-O Legiana.
M-E-L-O Legiana.
Which is?
Music.
They
beat off to music.
No kidding.
Who knew?
Is it the Eagles?
Anyway, I'm about to go check this one.
Well, wait, but everybody does that.
Metro. Yeah. So that's where you belong.
It's disqualified.
Metrophilia. Poetry.
Beat off to poetry?
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Eagles legina is specifically the act of doing it to Eagles music, which I think if you were honest, you'd admit that you're guilty of Eagles legina. Yeah.
Hey, but going against giantess, microphilia, shrunken beings, or the imagination of shrinking of beans.
Wow, man.
Neat, right? Beans.
Wait, I have an important question.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a couple of kinkies when the Chinese spy balloon attacked us last week. Mm-hmm. Did we lose the giantess story?
No.
Oh, that's a good question.
Was it earlier?
The giantess was earlier last week.
Okay, because I'd hate for the
double check that, but I'm pretty sure that was like Thursday's episode of last week.
And I'm just going to
shortchange.
I'm just going to give you all
the giantesses.
A couple more. Mysophilia.
No,
you know what that is?
Mysophilia.
Mysophilia.
No,
it's the dirtiness or soiled or decaying things. That's nasty.
Hell,
that looks like some maggots and
shit. Yeah,
here's got to be mine. Narratophilia. Obscene words.
That's a Woody.
Nasophilia is noses. Naval fetishism is naval. Let me see if I can find one more funny one. Okay, this is disturbing. Oculolinctus. The act.
Something in the eyes.
The act of licking the eyes of another person for the purpose of sexual gratification.
What the hell?
That's it. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. No, wait. One more. This got to be. Well, you know, I'm not going to say it's yours, but let's just, because I just.
It might be. Give it to
me. Omorashi. Having a full bladder. Or from seeing someone else experience a full bladder and or wedding.
Yeah, because if I have a full bladder, I'm a rushy to the bathroom and get rid of it. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, well, there you go, people. This is a little bit of humor for your sexy crime. Kinky crimes Wednesday.
For your hump day.
I need to know what kinkies the Chinese spies got, because we had some great kinkies.
Well, let's find that out.
What about the whole sex cult thing and vagina scented candles? Did we lose that one?
I don't know.
God,
we'll have to look.
Jim.
Oops, sorry. Pretty sure we
left our technology vulnerable to a Chinese spy balloon.
Scratch or sniff.
I believe I just heard the Mile High Crime playing.
Which now is Banjo Time?
Nope. Mile High Crime.
No.
Oh, Mile Crime.
We're going to talk about the security issues at airports. They've released a report that actually is covering the threat of criminal gangs potentially recruiting airport workers inside the airports as operatives.
Yeah.
So this is becoming something that is a major issue at airports all over the country. A Wall Street Journal report actually highlighted concerns that the urgency to increase staffing could make airports a target for malicious employees. They're very attractive recruits for criminal organizations because of their access, obviously, to those airports. Right. The aviation industry has grappled with hiring shortage and resorted to mass hirings following pandemic-era travel restrictions. Experts believe this has given those criminal entities the chance to plant or recruit new accomplices. And to give you kind of an example, in 2018, several airline workers from the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport were arrested for attempting to smuggle drugs onto a plane. Mm-hmm. In July, a video captured Transportation Security Administration workers in Miami International Airport stealing from passenger bags. We brought you that story. Yeah. This was this past July. TSA confirms that these officers obviously were removed from their position, but it is coming a major problem for these airlines. And when you think about it, it's not just access to load a plane full of cocoa,
right?
Full of yayo, if you will. But it's also, Mike looked at me, we're yayo. But also it is an opportunity for theft, obviously, theft ring. Or letting someone through. Hey, man, what about letting someone through weapons?
Right. You can be paid off.
Yeah.
Right? You can be paid off for yayo. You can be paid off for a firearm.
That's right. So becoming a major concern.
Just fucking life nowadays. Everything is so screwed up.
Well, I'll tell you what's a major concern is the way that Joan from the TSA treated me boarding when I went through security at MSY the other day on my way to Dallas.
She didn't recognize you as that guy, so you got butt hurt.
No, that could have been the case had she not recognized me, but she screens my bag and takes out a brand new thing of Right Guard that I had bought like 2 days before.
Yeah.
And look, every airport is freaking different. Sometimes you got to take your laptop out and lay it in the thing separately. You got to take your shoes off. Oh, no, sir, you don't need your shoes off. Oh, you can leave your laptop in the bag. Why don't they have one set of freaking rules? I don't get why they're all different. But anyway, I thought that they had changed that rule about how many ounces of a liquid you could have. And apparently, well, that's not a liquid. That's an aerosol. But they took my big ass thing.
See, they did a little liquid.
They took my big ass thing of Right Guard away, and I'm like, Joan, come on. I mean, what? Smell it. And I sprayed, took the top off and sprayed it. She didn't like that at all. She didn't like that at all.
You're lucky. He almost got arrested.
That was King of Crime. Mile High. But you know, I traveled when I was doing the defense work, and I had that apartment right there in Farmers Branch, not far from. In between Fort Worth and Dallas, and I traveled I had 167 nights in Hilton hotels that year, plus the apartment, plus my family was still down in Maurepaugh, and I traveled every day, and I just quit taking shit. Yeah, I just because it just got to be too much of a hassle.
Well, thank God for that airport. I don't know why they don't model every other airport after that one, because getting dropped off right outside your gate and being able to walk in and go through a security gate that only services like five gates. Right.
Let me tell you one thing you don't want to carry: polygraph.
Yeah.
Every single time. Yeah. And then the one time I checked, they broke my fucking computer and flagged it. And I had to wait hours. But you go on through the thing, they see all those wires and that little box. Yeah. They do not like it. So if you want me to come do a polygraph for you somewhere in the United States of America, you have to pay a little bit extra.
Dr. Frankenstein is trying to board the plane.
Yes. Yeah. So there you have it.
Give me some banjo. Let's go to South Carolina. A South Carolina woman told police she was running late for an appointment, so she decided to take a shortcut. The shortcut route didn't come from Waze or Google Maps. It was her own unique shortcut. Actually, that's not entirely true. Here's what happened. Oconee County Sheriff's deputies attempted to stop a speeding woman on Interstate 85, but she wasn't having any of it. As they approached the Georgia state line, the deputies backed off, handing things over to the Livonia, Georgia police. The Livonia police then gave chase, and the woman exited the interstate. Once off the interstate, the chase continued through the Livonia streets when the woman suddenly took a sharp turn into the Livonia cemetery. Yeah. Police continued to give chase into the cemetery. And then, in a scene that would make Roy, Kristen, and Kristen shudder, the woman crashed violently into several graves. But she wasn't done. After striking the graves, the woman jumped out of her car and began running on foot. She didn't get far in the large, dark cemetery before officers caught up with her. Asked why she didn't stop when South Carolina officers first tried to pull her over, she said, quote, "I was running late for an appointment." Asked why she tried to cut through the cemetery, she said, quote, "I needed a shortcut." Asked if she was hurt anywhere following the crash, she said, quote, "I'm hearing a strange sound in my head. It sounds like banjos playing." The woman is now spending quality time with Franklin County Sheriff Steve Thomas. She did not make it to her appointment. Shocking.
Get it.
Dummy. Cemetery dummy.
Cemetery dummy. I like that.
The worst kind of dummy.
Woody Everton, any final thoughts?
Just love and appreciate all y'all. Again, we apologize. You know, you're such loyal fans. Our numbers were just as high as they are.
I think they just liked
the
first episode ever
without Mike.
Agarless.
Yeah. Then they thought they were getting it again, so we had it even higher for Monday.
Right.
But it shows y'all's loyalty, and we do appreciate it. You know, it's just awesome. And if you want, this is raw and unscripted. If you want to advertise with Real Life Real Crime Daily, you can contact Aggo at whatever his shit is. What is it?
That is just a textbook delivery of a promo. It doesn't get any better than that. Folks, I think
they're foaming at the mouth in
honor of the Chinese spy balloon taking the show out on Friday and Monday, I think we should all boycott Chinese products for the next week. I'm not going to give money to people who would target this show and try and take us off the air.
The question was, what's your contact info?
I have a special email address for such purposes.
What is it?
I forgot.
All right, so hit him up on Facebook.
Hit him up over there.
Actually, RLRC board @gmail.com.
B-O-R-E-D?
B-O-A-R-D.
I know. Still saying we need a t-shirt.
B-O-A-R-D.
Anyway, let us show.
I'm going to design RLRC board, B-O-R-E-D t-shirt. And see how many we do can sell.
For all these other companies, if you're a lifer out there and you listen, and we can give you a super hookup. I'm going to show you the results across all social media and the show and everything else.
There's certain listeners are not allowed to use that email. You know who you are.
That is not true.
You know who you are.
Then you can email me, and Jim and I do a commercial without Aggie. Right? But seriously, I mean, what we do it for, the national companies who have real boards and are on the stock market and all that. Let us do it for you.
That's right.
So.
All right, Aggo.
Well, we're working on one of those where I will be the guinea pig in studio for a treatment. We're not going to talk about that.
Working on it and seeing it, two different things.
Yeah, that's true.
And on that note, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.